we're holding on Samach Gimel, Amud Bey's second lines from the bottom. We started talking about yesterday, we have the case in the Mishnah where a father says, I received Kiddushin on behalf of my daughter, but I'm not sure from who, and then one person or two people come with claims that they're the one. So we discussed said that we believe if one person comes, we believe him to say that that he can give her a get, so she's allowed to marry anybody else, but not to marry her because what if Yitzhak Toifoy, what if he's listening to his Yitzhahara and he wants to live with her and then marry her even though she's an Ashish. Rav Asi had said we believe him even to marry her, and then we discussed a few different permutations of it. What if it's not her father who says it, but she herself who says it? And then we started talking about what about, based on what the father says, could she actually get skila? If the father says, or if she herself says, that she was Mekodesh, and now she's Mezana with somebody else, could there be skila? Rav says no, and Rav Asi says yes.
In both cases the same.
So we said that Rav would say that the Torah gives an amonus to the father to say that he accepted Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter, but only as far as that she's considered married, but not as far as right. to the extent that she's also to everybody else, not necessarily as far as Missa. And Rav Asi had said that it would be as far as Missa as well, although Rav Asi says not if she herself says, I was Mekodesh to somebody, then that's not a valid enough basis to give her skila. Because we said the logic was since the Torah gives their monos to the father, therefore when he says she's Mekodesh, then Rav Asi says that's strong enough not only to say that she's married, but even to say that Mista should apply. On the other hand, when she herself says, so she's making herself chaticha b'isura, shavi napsha chaticha b'isura. She's saying that she's also to everybody else. But on the other hand, we can't give her misa on the basis of that unless we have edim that she's actually Mekodesh.
It's not consistent.
And edim of the nus, right. What? Yeah.
It's not consistent. In one case, you need edim.
So that's what we said.
In one case, you need edim, and in the other case, you don't.
Right, so Rav Asi had pointed that out himself. That's why he said yesterday, he said that what I'm saying seems to like break the roofs. It seems to be very inconsistent. If anything, the same way as we're saying on the basis of what the father says, and you could even allow somebody to marry her on the basis of that, somebody can come and say, I'm the one who was Mekadosh her, and we allow him to marry her, and we still say skila would apply, how much more so when she herself says, I'm Mekodesh, we don't even allow a claimant to come and marry her in case she's actually Mekodesh to somebody else. Why shouldn't Skila apply? But the fact is that the Torah gives Nehemonis to the father. We don't find that the Torah gives Nehemonis to her herself. So there can be Shavya Naksha Chaticha Deisura. She makes herself, she's saying, in effect, I am also to everybody. However, that's not enough evidence for us to give her skila. For that, you would need, of course, you need edus that she was mezana. That's a given either way. But you need edus in addition that she is, or some other kind of evidence that she is, in fact, Mekodesh. Just her say-so is not enough.
So you want she's a devil.
We're talking about she's a devil, yeah. So now the Gemara continues. V'Rav Chista Omar. Now Rav Chista says, similar to Rab, Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh Ein Soitlin. That you don't, either way, you don't give her skila. Whether it's the father saying, I received Kiddushin on her behalf, whether it's the girl herself saying, I received Kiddushin for myself, either way, if afterwards, we don't have any other edim or any other proof that Kiddushin took place, then if afterwards she's Mizana, then Ein Sotlin, we don't give skila. But as the Rav Chista L'taymei, in that Rav Chista is going according to his own svara. The Omer Rav Chista, as we find, Rav Chista says in a different context that the point he's going to develop out of the statement he makes over here is the father is believed to a certain extent to say about his child's age, but not to the extent of skila. So the Omer Rav Chista, if a father says Bni Zev and Teisha Shanav Yemechad, this son of mine is 9 years old or older, and at that point already his bia is considered a bia in halacha. Or he says Biti Zubas Shalosh Shanim V'Yemechad, my daughter is 3 years old and 1 day or older, which means again that bia with her is considered bia in halacha. So either way, in other words, for example, if at that point this son or this daughter were to be mezana with somebody else, then they wouldn't be chayiv nisa, they're still kanim, but the other person would be chayiv nisa, or malchus, or korban, or whatever it is, because it's already considered bia. So in those cases, neman la korban, and we believe the father insofar as the korban. So say, for example, now his 9-year-old son did bia with a grown woman who's an eshes ish. So she, if it was b'shoigig, let's say, she would be chayiv korban. Avaloy la makas, avaloy la unshin. But not as far as giving malchus, and not as far as other kinds of penalties, such as misa. So this is similar to what Rav Chista is saying, that the father is believed to say that his father, that his daughter is mekudesh, but not to the extent of saying that she's chayiv misa for the znus.
The other party who is a doula is not chayiv misa?
So she would be chayiv misa, but in this case, all we have is the father's say-so that his son is 9 years old. If we had, so we have, let's say, in other words, we have Edim, that we have Edim, there was Znus over here, but we only have the father's say-so that the boy is 9 years old. Or not, it could actually be. We're talking about that there is no other Edim. We have the father himself is saying that he knows that this took place. Well, that's not enough. You need two Edim for Misa. But the point is that the main point we're developing over here, though, is that we need evidence external to the father that the boy is old enough, that the boy is already 9 years old, and therefore that there would be misa for the other partner.
You know,
if it's only the father saying, my son is 9 years old, that's not enough evidence.
But next to neighbors say, you ask, remember Bristol is in this date.
So that would be, that could constitute ages, sure. In fact, Tosfos discusses over here that, a few different things. First of all, often what you have is, now in the case of 9 years old, it's not always easy to tell. In the case of a 13 years old, which is the next thing in Rav Chista's statement, actually Tosfos points out, sometimes you can have, for example, let's say he has a lot of Cyrus, not just Shtei Cyrus. Then already that's strong enough evidence that he's well over 13 years old. So therefore, you wouldn't necessarily need the father to say anything. Here we're talking about, let's say he only has Shtei Cyrus and he's still short. So therefore, we need the father to be telling us that he's 13, and without that, we're not going to know. Also, Tosfos points out that another way of looking at it is that you could have where the father says, for example, that it wasn't recently; it was a year or two back that he ate chaylev or did whatever. So we have no way of checking now except trusting the father's nemonos. So then Rav Chista is saying that he has nemonos for that. In fact, by the way, Tosfos says pretty much only the father does as far as that. Other people, I mean, if they come as aiders, fine, but if they're just saying it as a statement, if you have one other person, somebody else may not pay such close attention to his age. The father knows his son's age. Therefore, we can say that he, even as one aide, is believed to testify about his son's age, but not necessarily somebody else. Now, if, like you say, if the neighbors say, we remember his bris or something, and they come as aidim, that's different. That's actual aiders.
And this carbon against for what?
The carbon would be, for example, if she, let's say, so this boy, 9 years old, had relations with an aishas ish, and she, and let's say she was shogig, with him it doesn't matter, shogig or mazid, either way. She didn't realize that it's also whatever, it doesn't matter exactly. There can be various cases of shogig. Anyway, so
she thought he was a whatever
the case is. Anyway, the point is she's chayav korban chatas. It's a case of that would be chorus for mazid if there's no aid in basra. Therefore, there's a chatas for shogig. Similarly continues Rav Chista. So that's it. So Rav Chista is saying that if a father says about his son that he's 9 years old or my daughter is 3 years old, then he's believed as far as the korban, but not as far as misa or malchus or anything like that. So Tanya Tavasei de Rav Chista, we learn a braisa like what Rav Chista says. If the father says nizev and shloish es yoshanu yemechad, if the father says my son is 13 years old in a day, and again, like Tosfos is talking about, we can be talking about where the boy doesn't yet look like a gadol, he's still short, and he only has developed just barely shtei cyrus, and you don't know whether he's actually 13 years old yet or not. Or biki zubas shtei mes yoshanu yemechad, or my daughter is 12 years old, same thing. Neman nedarim, we believe him as far as nedarim, that if this child makes a neder, then the neder is chal. V'lacharomim, if they declare something cherem, which is a type of hektish, then that will also work. Tosfos, by the way, points out that usually we have that Eidechod Neman Bisurin only when it's Biyodoy, only when it's something he's capable of accomplishing. Here it's not something that the father is capable of making the child be a certain age. But the answer is, Tosfos says he is eventually going to grow up. So therefore it's considered Biyodoy. And again, the point is the father, we believe, because he's careful about it, and not only it's careful, actually, I should say, because Tosfos says it's the father's job to inform others how old his child is as far as the relevance of various dinim, other people not. So if somebody else, in other words, were to come and say this child is 13 as one aide, that wouldn't necessarily be enough to say that his neder is a neder and so forth. Anyway, the charomim. Also, as far as regular hektish, as far as if he declares an erech, for himself or for somebody else, but not as far as malchus and not as far as oinshin, such as misa. So that bears out Rav Chista's point that the Torah gives the father a nemonus as far as his child's age, but only to a limited extent. So now when Rav Chista said before that if the father says, I've accepted kedushin on behalf of my daughter, But we don't have any other edim to substantiate that. And then she was mizana, and we have edim that she was mizana. Nevertheless, she can't be chayiv misa for it because we only have the father say so that she's mekudesh in the first place. The same way over here, as we're saying, we only have the father say so that the boy is 9 or 13, as the case may be.
This is only the kedushin, but if this were the whole seminary, they went through the whole part of Adim.
Then there's going to be Adim. If there's going to be Adim, then there's nothing to talk about. We're talking about Rehu exclusively when it's the father himself alone who's saying it. Okay. Mishnah says, a father says, Kidashti Yasbiti, the father says, I received Kedushan on behalf of my daughter, Kidashti Yavigirashti Yakshitana. And so now I received Kedushan and I received her get, and she's still a Ktana. So, in other words, when he's saying all of this, she's still a Ktana. We know, we've learned before that as a Ktana, that he has, that when she's a Ktana, he has the right to receive her get. So Neman, then we believe him. Hagoyes Agura points out that, Hagoyes Agura points out the Kidashti Yasbiti is also referring to that she's a Ktana. So, in other words, you have two cases. One, he says, I received Kedushin on her behalf, and she's still a Ktana. And the other one would be saying, I received her divorce, I received her get, and she's still a Ktana. On the other hand, if he says that I received her Kedushin, I received her get when she's a Ktana, but now, by the time he says that, she's a Gdola, he never said anything when she was a Ktana, Ein and Nemon, then we don't believe him that she was divorced, and she will be mutter to marry a Koyan, now she says. Because he only has nemonus as long as she's a ketana, as we'll see in the Gemara. Why?
Obviously, there's no.
Paper. Obviously, again, we're talking paper about lost. As usual. There's no edim.
No papers.
The papers are lost, and there's no edim yet, etc. On the other hand, nishbis, if he says that she was captured by goyim, where there we have, as we learned from the Sefer Ksubas, the concern that they may rape her, and she would be also to a koyim. Then ufti siha, and he says, then I redeemed her. I ransomed her. Ben she ktana, ben she gdola. Then, whether he says this when she's a ktana or when she's a gdola, ain't a nemon, then we don't believe him, and she still remains mutter to marry a kohen. Why the difference is, again, we'll see in the Gemara.
Because we learned.
Hold on. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seifa? Why is it that we believe him to say that she's divorced, but not to say that she was, that she was captured? Or for that matter, really the question is on both. Why is it that if he's saying I received her divorce and now she's a gdola, we don't believe him. And also that if he says any time during her life that she was captured and I ransomed her, we don't believe him. Why do we have cases in the Mishnah where we don't believe him? Where in the Reisha we said that if he says kidashti or gerashti, she tana, and he says this when she's a tana, nemens. So the answer is,
in general, when a person gets gets married, and then she gets divorced, she doesn't automatically take her out of her father when she's married.
Only if there was nisuin. If there was eris, you were talking about there was only. Thank you for mentioning that. Actually, I forgot. Only if there was eris. You're right. Once there was nisuin, she's out of her father's reshus. Then he doesn't receive or get. We're talking about that the divorce was from erisin. So then she goes back to her father's reshus. Thank you. Anyway, so the Gemara answers. The difference is Reisha B'yodeh, Seif Alav B'yodeh. Because in the Reisha, when she's still a Ktana, he has full rights to be Mekadesh to somebody else or to receive a get for him. So therefore, to receive a get for her. So therefore, so it's a case of Malo the Shaker. It's like a Migri. So he has other ways of passing her. He could actually marry her off to somebody and then receive a get, and then she'd be possible for Kohana. Sefer la biyode, as opposed to in the Sefer, where she's already a god, where she's already a gdola, he can't accept her kedushin in behalf, and he can't accept her kedushin anymore. He also is not going to be able to give her over to goyim, that she should be a shvuya, that she should be captured among them. So therefore, it's not biyode, it's not in his hand to accomplish any of these things. So even when she's a ktana. So therefore, again, I mean, obviously, he could physically hand her over to goyim, but we're not talking about ultimate shvuya skinim. We're not talking about a Rosha who would do that. So it's not biyodei, so that's the difference. Well, the Gemara asks the Loi, so you're telling me that not? What are you talking about? Even when she's a Ktana, he has the ability to make her pasul a kohona through marriage. Now, so what do you have? In other words, there's one way of pasuling her to marry a kohen would be that she gets married, or rather, mukudeshes, whatever, and then he receives her get. But there's another way that she could become pasul to marry a kohen that doesn't involve her becoming a shvuya. Doesn't he have the ability to marry her off to a cholol, which we're going to learn extensively in the next parak, that when a cholol marries a Jewish girl, then she becomes a cholola. Now it's a perfectly good marriage. There's no isser in halacha for a cholol to marry a bas Yisrael. Nevertheless, their children are considered cholalim, and she herself is considered a cholola. Cholola is one of the women who's also to marry a kohen. So now, this father has a daughter. He has the capability, while she's a ktana, to marry her off to a cholol. Right then and there, as soon as the cholol marries her, as soon as they do chuppah, then she's also to a kohen. So now it's true, it's out of the father's hands. At that point, it's up to the cholol whether he divorces her, or if the cholol dies, either way, she's also to a kohen, as if she was a shvuya. So it is biyodei to a certain extent to the father of the father. So fine, the father can't make her a shvuya per se, but he's able to make her posel a kohuna. So why don't we consider that biyodei? Have any biyodei lasir lacholol to kaposel a kohuna, and by doing that he'll make her posel to marry a kohen. The answer is holei kasha. That's not a problem because could have this story better be heard, because the Tana of our Mishnah may hold like this story better be heard. The Omar Bnois Yisrael Mikveh Tara L'Chalolim. He says Jewish women are like a mikveh that makes chalolim tohar. Meaning, in other words, we're going to learn this in the next parak that he holds that as a matter of fact, that the children of a cholol, Rabbi Stoy learns, will be kosher l'kohona. If the cholol and his wife have a daughter, that daughter, Rabbi Stoy says, will be kosher to marry a kohen. In effect, it's as though the cholol's seed became tohar in his wife, as though his wife is a mikveh tahara, and now the children emerge as tohar.
Boy also?
Well, boy, I mean, practically speaking, he's not a kohen anymore, but in other words, the point is, a girl will be able to marry a kohen. And the point is, Rashi goes on to say, now, we have a general rule, which we're going to learn in the next parak, that any time you have a person who you're allowed, where a kohen is allowed to marry his daughter, then a kohen would also be able to marry his widow. Therefore, it comes out, according to Rabbi Stoy, this woman who married the cholol is not, in fact, also the kohuna. So therefore, you're back to the father has no way of assuring his daughter to a kohen, except by literally making her shvuya, which he's not going to do.
If she dies and she's a cholol and she dies,
so that's the point. If a cholola herself would be a girl who's born from a marriage between a kohen and a woman, he's not allowed to. A kohen marries a grusha, for example, their daughter is a cholola. No question about that. Rabbi Stoy agrees to that. What we're saying is, when you have a cholol, a kohen and his wife, a grusha, have a boy and he's a cholol. If that cholol now grows up and marries a bas yisrael, the Chachamim are going to hold that their children, their sons are halolim and their daughters are halolois, and still can't marry kohenim. Rabbi Stoy holds that no, the children will not be halolim, and therefore, if it's a daughter, she'd be able to marry a kohen, and the widow herself would be able to marry a kohen. She has not been nischalol by having the halol marry her and have relations with her. Therefore, Rabbi Stoy would say, and our Mishnah would follow that, says the Gemara, that there's no way for the father to make his daughter posel a kohona short of actually making her a shvuya, which he's not going to do. So therefore, so we can say it's not biyadoi to make her a shvua, to make her a shvuya, and therefore that still explains the case of our mission of why we don't believe him, whether she's a tana or a gdola, to say that she was a shvuya. Tosfos Yishonim points out another detail of that as well, that if in fact the cholah were to make her posel a kohona by having relations with her, then in fact the children of necessity would be posel. And since Rabbi Destori says the children are kosher, necessarily the wife has to be kosher as well. So it's arriving at the same din that Rashi says, but arriving at it by a different route. Whatever. If it's confusing, then let's not go into it. We'll talk about this more in the next paragraph.
Now, a chalon who's shvuya, isn't there a koil?
No. So there's two different things. There's a shvuya and then there's a chalol. Let's not confuse that. When a woman is a shvuya, not necessarily is there a koil. There might not be. But doesn't matter. When there's gerushin, there's usually also a koil. And nevertheless, we're still saying the father is believed when she's a tana. Okay. The question is, fine, but don't we have that the father conceivably could marry her off to a mamzer, and that would also be the equivalent of making her like a shvuya? A mamzer for sure passels her to ever marry a kohen. And the fact is, it would only be an isur lav, so therefore kiddushin would be tofus. So he has the capability of doing that. So why don't we believe him when he says she's a shvuya? In effect, again, we have the same migui, the same thing that Rashi mentioned before, that once it's biyode, then malo l'shakir, he has the ability to passel her himself. Well, he has the ability to passel her to ever marry a kohen by marrying her off to a mamzer. So the answer is, Kirab Akiva. We can say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. Dama ain't kiddushin types in the Chai Vilavin. Rabbi Akiva says that kiddushin are not effective with Chai Vilavin. Since there's an Isur Lav for a mamzer to marry a Bas Yisrael, then therefore, so it would be an Aveda, and we don't believe him. So he has no ability to do it in a way that the kiddushin would actually take effect. So he may have accepted kiddushin for her, but the kiddushin wouldn't have actually taken effect according to Rabbi Akiva, because the kiddushin can't take effect with Chai V'Lavin.
And would that work also? Not according to Rabbi Akiva, according to other people, if the father married some moms, would the same thing apply to?
The fact would be that she would be also to marry a kohen.
Okay, later on. Even the second generation are going to...
Yeah, because Mamzerus goes according to we're going to learn later on in the parak that Mamzerus goes from generation to generation, and it goes according to whichever one. If one member of the couple is a Mamzer, then the children afterwards are Mamzerim and so forth. Yeah. But that has nothing to do with this. Anyway.
But it doesn't go away like Chalala.
No. Right. Ran, by the way, mentions a point over here we're saying in effect, we're only believing the father where what he's doing is mutter. The fact is that, for example, to marry her off to a mamzer would be osir. So therefore, to that extent, then the Torah is not necessarily accepting what the father says. Because the whole point of a migri is he could do this, and we don't assume that he could do an aveda. Yeah. That's one point the Ran says. And the Ran makes a couple of points over here. One is that you can only accept the migri only when you're going to accept all of it. So, for example, when he says his daughter is a shvuya, it has two things that come from it. Number one, she can't marry a kohen. Number two, if she's a bas kohen, she can't eat truma. Now, if he says that, on the other hand, if he says that she got divorced, then it's only one thing. She's also to a kohen. She's still mutter to eat truma. So we don't have a migri when he says she's a shvuya, that we don't have a migri that he could have said, I accepted a divorce on her, I'll get on her behalf, because then that would have two consequences, whereas in the other case, you'd have only one. And then another point is that, the Ran makes a point that the whole concept that the father has ne'amonus is a chidush, as we're going to learn at the end right before the next Mishnah, and therefore we can't necessarily extend it by means of a migri. Anyway, according to Rabbi Akiva, though, kiddushin are b'chlal not effective with a mamzer, and therefore there's no migri at all, that the father could marry her off to a mamzer, and therefore we should believe him when he says she's a shvuya, because the kiddushin wouldn't even be tofus. Okay, the question is, Harebi Yodel Asi Almona La Kohen Gadol. Can he marry off, though, as an Almona, to marry off to a Kohen Gadol? So, in other words, you can have, she's a Tana, she was married, she was divorced, still from Erusin, so she's still under his rishus. Now he has the capability of marrying her off to a Kohen Gadol, the Chirab Simoi, in which case we would go like Reb Simoi, the Tanya Reb Simoi Omer, where we have Reb Simoi's understanding of Reb Akiva. I mean, I call Oysa Reb Akiva Mamzer. Reb Akiva holds that any marriage, any bia, which is also the children are going to be mamzerim, says Reb Akiva, chutz me amona l'kohen gadol, so in other words, even Chayvi Lavin, for example, with the exception of an amona l'kohen gadol, sharei amatara la yikach b'lo yichalo, because the Torah says he's not allowed to marry an amona, and he shouldn't make his children chalolim, implying chalolim oisa v'ein oisa mamzerim, implying that he only makes the children chalolim, but not mamzerim. So therefore, so you have the father still has the yaday to passel his daughter. So again, we should believe with a migui that that she was a shruya because he has the capability of marrying her off in a way that will make her also a kohana. The answer is Kirab Yeshevav. The answer is we have to say that no, that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yeshevav to Omar, where he says he has a different understanding of Rabbi Akiva. Shoyu Omer, who used to say Boyo un Saveach. Al Akiva ben Yosef, come let's cry out and protest against Akiva ben Yosef, against Reb Akiva. Shahoya Oma, call Shaim like Bia Bisrael of Vlad Mamzer. He says anybody where he's not allowed to do Bia among Jews, then the child is a Mamzer, which means that Rabbi Shevav understands Reb Akiva to be saying, even Amon of the Kohen Gadol is going to be the children are going to be Mamzerim. If the children are Mamzerim, means Kedushan is not Terifus. So in other words, we were saying, according to Reb Simoi, and Amona being the Kaddish, Kohen Gadol being the Kaddish and Amona would be Tophis, but now we have no. Rabbi Yeshevav's understanding of Rabbi Akiva would say it's not Tophis. Mm-hmm. So in that case, then there's no case where the father could say that his daughter is Posel of Kohuna without actually being a Shavuya. And if the whole point is we're trying to develop a Migui over here, then you don't have one because you don't have another alternative. However, the Gemara says, now, there's two ways within Rabbi Yeshevav's own statement. There's two ways of understanding what Rabbi Yeshevav is saying. Hanichal Rabbi Yeshevav itaimed the nafshe, ila taimed the nafshe. If you say that Rabbi Yeshevav is saying an own independent statement of what Rabbi Akiva holds, then fine. It means, in other words, that now we have to consider when it comes to Isurei Bia, you have a number of different categories. You have ones that are chayav misa, you have ones that are chayav koris. You have ones where there's an issue lav, for example, a mamzer. You have ones where, for example, an amon l'kohen gadol. And then you have where there's an issue eser. For example, so an example of an issue eser, the Torah tells us that a mitzri or a doini ger is allowed to marry into the Jewish people after three generations. Meaning, so if a man becomes a man or a woman, it doesn't matter, la halacha, from Mitzrayim or from Edom, becomes a ger or geiris, their grandchild can marry a regular ben Yisrael or bas Yisrael. But until then, they're limited to marrying geiris or mamzeris or whatever. So the Torah doesn't explicitly say they shall not marry in until the third generation. What it says is, bonim asher yuvoldu lahem dor shlishi yuvoy lahem b'kal Hashem. That when the third generation comes, they're allowed, implying that up until that point, they're not. Therefore, before that, there's an Isser Esser. Now, when Rabbi Yeshevav is saying that Rabbi Akiva says that kol she'en le'bia b'Yisrael of Vlad Mamzer, that the child will be a Mamzer and Kedushan aren't Tophis, is Rabbi Yeshevav also including in that by the Esser or not? So Hanicha, that's what the Gemara says. Hanicha Rabbi Yeshevav, either time of the Nafshe, if Rabbi Yeshevav is saying his own independent statement, so he's not coming to exclude what Rabbi Simoi says, he's saying his own independent understanding of what Rabbi Akiva means. So Shapir, then good, because it means Rabbi Yeshevav is including also Chayva Esser. So in that case, there's absolutely no case where there's a marriage that is also menatorda on any grounds where the wife is not going to become posel of kohona. So therefore, then fine. So therefore we have no migri at all. There's no possibility of the father saying my daughter is a shvuya, and we should believe him on the ground that he could have done something else to put her in effect in the status of a shvuya by passing her to a kohen, because according to Rabbi Yeshevav's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, then it would mean there is no other. There's no way that he could marry off to somebody who would passel her the kohen. Ela ila puki metaimed of simoi kasi. But if you're going to say Rabbi Yeshevav is only coming to tell us, I don't agree with Rabbi Simoi's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Simoi had said that Rabbi Akiva would say that everybody is not Kedushin or not Tophis except on one of the Kohen Gadol, well, then that means Rabbi Yeshevav is also only addressing Chayve Lavin. in that case. Haritz in that case. He's not addressing Chai Ve'Esa in that case. In that case, Chai Ve'Esa are also to get married, but Kedushin are Toifus. So Harebi Yadil Asiyah Chai Ve'Esa. Wouldn't the father have the ability to marry her off to that, to a first or second generation Mitzri or Jaime Ger, for example? And then in that case, then it's Biyodai, and therefore we should have the Migui to say that he could have done that, and therefore we should believe him to say that she was a Shurya. So in other words, going back to what...
And then make her Usher.
And then make her Usher to a Koyan as well as to eat Truma. That was the Ram's point before. It's one thing when he says Ger Ashtiha, that I received the get on her behalf, which only passes her from Kahuna, but not from Truma, then we can talk about, we're not going to accept Migos for that, because any of the Migos we're talking about over here would also passel her for Truma, and we're not going to do that. We're not going to accept half of what he says. Or the Nadan gives another answer as well, why we wouldn't accept the Migoy in that case. But here we're talking about anyway, he's saying she's a Shruya, which anyway, if true, would passel her from both, Kahuna and Truma. So we should see whether there's a possible Migoy for him, and therefore we should believe him. So again, based on what we said, there might be, at least according to one understanding of Rabbi Akiva, there may be a way that he has a Migoy where he could passel her with Kahuna, and yet Kedushin Artifus. So the answer is Amar of Ashi. So now all of this discussion so far was based on the idea of biyodai or loy biyodai. That we said that when she's a Tana, it's biyodai to accept kedushin on her behalf and to receive a get on her behalf. On the other hand, it's not biyodai when she's a Gola, and it's never biyodai as far as Shvuya. But now Rav Ashi is going to challenge that. Omer Rav Ashi, the Tisbara, how are you thinking? Reisha Mishum de Biyodehu? You're thinking that in the Reisha, the reason why we believe him is because it's all Biyodeh? Need to Biyodeh Lakadsha? Sure, he has the ability to accept Kedushin on her behalf. Biyodeh Lakadsha? Does he have the ability to divorce her? No, it's up to the husband to do that. All the father's role is that he can accept the get on her behalf. But oi, and not only that, Ilu Omer Hai, suppose that this possible person says he doesn't want to marry her. Would he be able to be Makadish his daughter to the guy? So it's not biyode to be Makadish her to apostle either. You're saying it's biyode to be Makadish her to apostle. That assumes the apostle himself, whether it's Chai Ve'Laven, Chai Ve'Esa, whatever, is willing to go along with it. Who says he's going to be willing to go along? So it's not biyode. So it's not a matter of biyode.
Yeah, as a guy would want, because he wants both to come to into leadership.
No, because he's not going to be able to anyway. The children are either, according to Rabbi Akiva Bechlal, the children are going to be a mamzerim, and even not according to Rabbi Akiva. It's still an isser. Why should we assume that somebody else is willing to do an isser?
He's a mamzerim.
He's a mamzerim, but all that means is the children are going to be mamzerim. It's not going to help him to marry a Bas Yisrael. At the end of our perek, we're going to learn there is one way that a mamzer can make his children be taller. It involves a shifra knanis, but So no. So Rav Ashi says has nothing to do with biyodai or loy biyodai. Reisha rachmona heimle. The reason why in the Reisha we believe him to say that he received the get on her behalf, that he received kedushin and or get on her behalf, is Rav Huna, is based on what Rav Huna says. The Amar Rav Huna Amar Nab, minayin la'ab, shenem and lesser, is bitte min ha-Torah. How do we know that a father has the ability, min ha-Torah, to say that his daughter was also, shenem, as bitte nasati la'isha zeh? We have the expression, he says, that I gave my daughter in marriage to this man. Now you consider the word la'ish hazeh. What if you were to say la'ish, and then stop there? La'ish osra. By saying the word la'ish would make her osra. Because if you were to say it's biti nasati la'ish, then we'd have the case we had before on some of Gimel on the Beis, where he says, I received kedushin for her, but I'm not sure from who. And then, she'd be also. Hazeh hitira, but when he says the word hazeh, then he means this one was makadasher, meaning she's also to everybody else, but she's mutter to him. So we see, therefore, the father has a certain nemonus, minatarda, to aser his daughter. So therefore, b'nisuin heim nerachmona la'ab b'shvoy lahemne. Only when it comes to matter of nisuin, only when it comes to nisuin and then things related to that of gerushin, does the father does the Torah believe him? But as far as shvoya, the Torah doesn't give him any nemonus on that at all. Therefore, he's just like anybody else. So if he says she's a shvoya, we need some kind of evidence outside of what he's saying. So that would be the reason, not biyodei and shaloi biyodei, but rather because in the Xeris HaKosov that he has nemonus as far as her marital status, but not as far as her shavuya status.
This is Rabbi Shaiva, the definition of Malchus.
Rabbi Shaiva was one of the last Arad Rabbi Malchus. Yeah, he was a chaver of Rabbi Akiva, which is why he calls him by his personal name, Akiva ben Yosef. Yeah. Okay. So that's that then. Mishnah says, Misha, here's another case of Nammonus, when we believe a person and not, as far as something that's going to affect his wife. Misha Amar B'Shas Misos Yeshli Bonim. A man says, as he's about to die, I have children. Therefore, my wife is not going to need Yibum or Chalitza. Nammon, then we believe him. Yeshli Achim, on the other hand, if he says, I have brothers, and therefore, so now, until now, we didn't know he had brothers. Now, all of a sudden, he's telling us he has brothers. Therefore, she's going to need Chalitza or Yibum. Ain't a Nammon, then we don't believe him. Now, why is that? So let's see. Alma, so we see from that, says the Gemara, Nammon lahatir vein Nammon lesser. So evidently, it seems that we believe the man when he's saying something that will make his wife mutter. When he says, I have children, that means, in other words, she's free to remarry anybody she wants. But on the other hand, to say that I have brothers, where we didn't know that he did until now, would mean that he's saying she's usur, and he doesn't have the ability to do that.
Having children from a different wife?
Doesn't matter. If he has children from any wife, even if he has children from znus, it would still be considered, we learned this in Yevamos. Only if he has children from a goiter, from a shifa, are they not considered as children in halacha, but if he has children even from another wife, or even from a znus, or whatever, then it would still be considered his children, and it passes his wife from Yevam, yeah.
Nothing that has to do with the guy, not with him.
Right. So the Gemara says, name him as nissin deloiket of nosin. In that case, do we have to say then that our Mishnah does not go like Rav Nosin? The Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa. Bishas Kiddushin, when it comes to the time of Kiddushin, when he's first being the Kaddish, the woman, Omer Yeshli Bonim, he says, I have sons. So therefore, in other words, when he's first being a Kaddish, the woman, he's saying, don't you worry, I have children. So even if we don't have children together, don't worry, you're going to need Chalitza or Yibum, because I already have children from an earlier marriage. And Bishas Misa Omer Einlai Bonim, and now when he dies, he says he has no children. Or the other way around, Bishas Kiddushin Omer Einlai Achim. At the time of Kiddushin, he says, I have no brothers, so don't worry, no Yibum or Chalitza will be necessary, because there's nobody for you to be a Shemeres Yavim with. Bishas Misa Omer Yeshlai Achim. And when he dies, he says he does have brothers after all. So in all those cases, Nemon lahatir ve'en Nemon lesser. So in all those cases, we believe him to say she's mutter, but not to say she's also divrei Rebbe. That's how Rebbe says. But Rav Nosson Omer af Nemon lesser. But Rav Nosson says he is believed to aser her as well. So our Mishnah on the face of it doesn't go like Rav Nosson. And as usual, with a Stam Mishnah, we'd rather assume that it goes according to everybody. Omer Rava shiny hossam. So Rava says that case in the Braisa is different. Given to Bashas Mr. Kahodobe, because he's changing his mind, he's retracting what he said when he dies, Ema Kushta Ka'amar, it's very possible that he's telling the truth. He knows he's about to go in front of the Beis Din Shamayla. He doesn't want this hanging around his neck that he caused his wife to do an Isser inadvertently. So therefore now he may be fessing up to the truth in order to say that she's Osir and we should believe him. So therefore she'd need Chalitza or Yibum. On the other hand, in our Mishnah, where he never said to begin with that she's mutter, then maybe even Reb Nosson would agree that we can't believe her, that we can't believe him, because maybe he's only doing it in order to make her feel bad or something. In other words, it's one thing if he himself had told her years earlier, I have no brothers, so therefore she's thinking, good, my husband is going to die soon, unfortunately, but at least then I'll be off the hook. Now he doesn't want that hanging around his head, so therefore he tells her, actually, I do have brothers, after all. But if he never told her in the first place, even Rav Nosson agrees that he might just be saying that Stam to harass her. But, Omri Abayev, Alav called the Cain. But Rabbi says, "Vlad called the Cain." Who isn't it a Kabbal Chomer? Hashka, a called the Cain is another way of saying kosher Cain. Kosher. We often find Dalid in Aramaic corresponds to a Shin. The prefix Dalid in Aramaic corresponds to the prefix Shin in Lashon Kodesh. So called the Cain is a kosher Cain. So isn't it a kosher Cain? Consider, in the case of the Braisa, the father had originally said his wife is potter from Chalitza or Yibum. Now he's ruining what he says to begin with. And you say he's exposing himself as a liar. Amrit Kushta Ka'amar, and you're telling us, nevertheless, we have to assume he's saying the truth, so he doesn't have to go in front of the Beis Din Shamayla with that on his head. Masnissin, the Loi Kamarale, the Dibure, in the case of our Mishnah, he never told her anything in the first place. Loy Kolshaken, how much more so we should accept, we should rely on what he's saying. Not only is he accomplishing by that, but he's saving her from an Isser, but we're not even going to say, he's embarrassed to say it because he's going to expose himself as a liar before. He never said anything before. So Abed Abba, Kolshaken, we should believe him. So rather, Abaya says, no, the difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa, Masnissin de la Mukhsak lon ba'achi, de la Mukhsak lon ba'boni. The case of our Mishnah, we didn't have any chazaka until now that he had brothers or he had sons. Now, because he has no brothers, therefore the chazaka was that she doesn't need Yibum or Chalitza. Now if he says I have children, then he is Neman, because now therefore she's mutter. So to that extent we believe him to be mater. But if he says Yeshli Achim, now he wants to take, in other words, because if he says I have son, that reinforces the chazaka we had. The chazaka we had is she's not going to be skukah liyavam, and now if he says I have children, that reinforces that chazakah. Now the result of it is the good of him saying that is if later on somebody else comes and says I'm his brother, we're going to tell him doesn't mean you need chalitza or yavam. He already has children. We have his say so that he has children.
He's making his case stronger.
On the other hand, Yeshli Achim ain't a Neman, but if he says I have brothers, where now he wants to change her chazaka. Before she had chazaka, that she's potter from that, now he wants to change it and say she's chayev, ain't a Neman. We don't believe him. Lav kol kamine, because he doesn't have the ability to make her also to everybody else. Because until now she had a chazaka, she was mutter, and then he wants to change that chazaka, so we need something more than his say so. On the other hand, Braisa, the muchzak lon ba'achi, the Braisa is talking about we already have a chazaka that he had brothers, which means, in other words, so again, there's no Adam, there's only a chazaka ba'alma. We have the people of Hur before the Kiddushin that he had brothers. He never said so, unlike in Rava's explanation where he actually said, I have brothers, and now he wants to retract it or whatever. Here he said, I have no brothers or whatever. Here we're not talking about it. He never said anything, but we've heard before he ever was Bekadisher that he had brothers. We didn't have a chazaka that he had children. So now he says, I don't have brothers or I have sons. So the damrin and mali the shaker. Because now we say he has a migri. He has a mali the shaker, my karma. Because why would he be saying that he has children? He's doing it in order to pater her from needing yibum. Well, there's another way he could accomplish that. Motziyama patana loch begita. He could say, I'll give you a get which will take effect shortly before I die. Whatever that whole thing. Different Rishonim discuss the exact details over here. Are we talking about Rashi says he could give her a get that will take place samuch l'misasi, that will take place shortly before he dies. Tosfos discusses that he would give her a get that could be chal whenever he wants. The Rashba says that he would tell her he wouldn't write a get now, but he would promise her that shortly before I die I'll write you a get. Whatever the case, he has biyode to do that. So when he says I have children, meaning you're potter from Yibum, we can believe him, even if it's not true that he has children. Nevertheless, he has a migui because instead he could have done something else to potter her from Yibum, namely divorcing her, and therefore we can believe him with the claim of Yeshli Bani.
Well, to divorce her, I don't know if there's an option because no one knows the Yemen Misa.
That's true.
Unless he wrote again.
Right. So that's why you have the different understandings. That's why we have the different understandings. Are you talking about that he says that I'm going to write a get now and it'll take effect some of Misasi? Or are you talking about he says he can write or get any time he wants? He doesn't even have to wait until he's close to Misa. Or is it fine? Yeah, we're sure, and we'll learn that it means that he's promising her that he's going to write her a get sometime before he dies. Whatever the case, therefore, that's enough for a nigger. So now when he says that he has sons or he doesn't have brothers, then therefore that would be reason enough to believe him, because either of those claims is meant to pater her from Yibum, and he has a migri that he would have had a different way of patering her from Yibum. So that would explain. So in the Braisa, Rav Nosson would say that we would believe him lesser, because to begin with there was no chazaka that we had a chazaka that he had brothers and no sons. So now Rav Nosson is saying, just because he says I have, when he says I have sons, Rav Nosson is going to say that's not that we don't have enough of it. So Rebbe rather is going to hold. So here's the machlokes. Rebbe saw the mali v'shaker. So Rebbe holds he has a migri. That is the equivalent of Adin. Rebbe says a mala v'shaka, a migri, has the force of Eidim. So therefore, so v'osu Eidim v'akri chazaka. So now, in effect, the Eidim, these meaning the chazaka, which is the equivalent of Eidim, comes and that undoes the chazaka. So till now, we had a chazaka that she was potter from chalitzer yibum. Now the Eidus, namely the fact that he's saying, the fact that he has a migri, takes that away and that removes that chazaka and creates a new chazaka that she potter from chalitzer yibum.
Because until now
we had a chazaka that he has brothers, but now he's saying I have sons, which that undoes the previous chazaka, makes it that now he's potter from chalitza or yivim. So Rebbe says that's good enough. In fact, by the way, the Gemara does tell us elsewhere that a migri is not effective against Edim. So that's, in other words, the Rashba explains, because he could divorce her right away, so therefore that's a very strong thing. And then the Ritva brings a couple of other reasons why we should say this migri is stronger than the other ones. One of them is, we learned before, a person's not going to do an Avera where it's not even going to benefit him personally. What would it benefit him to say that his wife is potter from Chalitza or Yibum when he's not going to gain anything by it because he's dead? So therefore we have more reason to say that he's going to tell the truth.
Yeah, but he doesn't want his wife to have to go with marriage in Jersey.
I understand, but nevertheless, the point is, it's still the loy. It's still not really for himself. So it's for somebody else. So if he's not telling the truth, he's not going to do that. And there's a few other reasons. It's something that we can find out the truth, and so it's not something a person is less likely to. A person is less likely to lie about such a thing. And another point he says also is that b'chlal, when a woman's husband dies, usually there's a chazaka that she's mutter to marry whoever she wants, unless we find that she needs yibum. And here, therefore, we need therefore when the husband says she's potter from yibum, we have good reason to believe him. Anyway, that's the point of Rebbe. Rebbe Nosson Tzava Malu B'Shaker Ki Chazaka Dami. Rebbe Nosson holds Malu B'Shaker is only the equivalent in strength of a chazaka. Loy Osi Chazaka V'Okra Chazaka L'Gamri. Therefore, the new chazaka Malu B'Shaker doesn't completely remove the original chazaka where we had a chazaka that she has to do yibum because we knew before he had brothers. So on the one hand, we could say Eidon M'choyte V'loyloy, and we could say all of those things, but nevertheless, Rav Nosson says it's still not strong enough to, so now, Rashi adds, if he had not changed his mind, if he had not said anything, before he died, then we would still, we would say, if, in other words, if we didn't have before Chazaka that he had brothers and now he says he does, then fine, then we could believe him. But here, where we had a Chazaka before that he has brothers, and now when he dies, he's claiming he doesn't have brothers, Rav Nosson says that's not really good enough. Tosfos also discusses over here, various ins and outs of it. How can we believe what he says, b'shas kedushin, and use that as a basis for what he would say later? So Tosfos discusses another way of understanding the migri is that he could conceivably write her a get as soon as he does the kedushin, and then hold on to that get for later. Now, it is true, that would be a get yoshan that we learned in the Sefer Gittin. That's called get yoshan, and you're not supposed to use it for divorce. Nevertheless, the diyevid, it works, and therefore that would be a migri that would work.
Yeah, but if he writes the same type of get before they go to war, that's a kosher.
Right. Well, that would be a conditional get. Here we're not talking about conditional. Here we're talking about he writes a get. He holds on to it and he uses it whenever he wants. So it's a get yoshin, but it would still be kosher. That's how it is. But that's another way of understanding the migri over here, which Tosfos says. So, and as the point is that way we also have a way of reconciling the Braisa with the Mishnah, because the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about two different cases. Abaye says the Mishnah is talking about we never had any chazaka that he had sons or brothers. So now he's saying I have sons or I have brothers. We can talk about when we believe him and when not, because one reinforces the chazaka and the other one cancels it. Whereas the Braisa is talking about there was already a chazaka that he has brothers and not that he has sons. So now Rebbe is going to say he has a mala v'shaka. Rebbe says it's strong enough to undo the chazaka. And Rav Nosson says it's not.
So one says you could say he has, when he says he has children, you believe him? And the other
would say, I said, therefore, Rav Nosson would say, when he says he has children, you can believe him. But when he says he has brothers, then, so no, rather the other way around. Rebbe says you can believe him which is a huge. Braisa was that he said b'shas kiddushin. He said I have no sons, and b'shas misa b'shas kiddushin. He says I have sons, b'shas misa. He says I don't. Or the other way around, b'shas kiddushin. He said I don't have brothers, b'shas misa. He said he does. But we're talking about Abaya says in the case of the Braisa, never mind what he said. We have a chazaka that he has brothers and he doesn't have sons. So now we have to consider, well, there's what he said when kiddushin, there's what he said now, what he says now before he dies, to what extent does he have a migui on that can undo the chazaka? Okay. Mishnah says, Hamakadosh is bitay stam, when a man accepts kiddushin on behalf of his daughter stam without specifying which daughter, ain't a burgress b'chlal, the girls who are already a burgeras, who are already 6 months after Shtei Cyrus, are not included because they're not in his rishus. So therefore, those daughters would still remain mutter to everybody else. Another case, Mishi yesh le shtei kitei bonis v'shtei noshim. Suppose a man has, we've learned this before in connection with the Sylvia Kedushin Shle Nimsur Labia a couple of weeks back. Mishi yesh le kitei bonis v'shtei noshim. Mishi yesh le shtei kitei bonis v'shtei noshim. A man has two sets of daughters from two different wives. So he has from his first wife, he has Rachel and Leah. From his second wife, he has Bila and Zilpah. But Omar, he says, Kidashti es biti agdola. I accepted Kedushin on behalf of my Gdola daughter. We don't mean Gdola as in Begeris, but we said, Eina Begeris Bechlau, but we mean his older daughter. The Eni Yadea in Gdola Shabagdolas. Now he says, I don't know which one of them. Does it mean the eldest of the oldest group? So that would be Leah, let's say. Oi Gdola Shabaktanis. So do I mean the eldest one of the second group, which would be Bila? Or maybe even it means the younger one of the first set, which would be Rachel. She gdolim and agdolus shabaktanis, because after all, she can be called gdola relative to the younger sister from the second one. Kolanasuris chusman aktanis shabaktanis give her a mayor. So the mayor says all of them are going to be osir except for the youngest of the young. The zilpa will be mutter because there's no possibility that what he said it refers to her, but it could be that it refers to any of the three. Before when we learned the sugya of Abaya and Rava and kedushin shel nimsur labia. We had that we may have to explain on Mishnah that we had over there the question of kedushin shel nimsur labia. When you have kedushin, where bia is going to be impossible, as in this case, maybe the man was makadish one of the daughters, and therefore all of them become also to him because they're all sisters. So is that even considered valid kedushin or not? So we said that So according to Rava, we have to say, and we're going to mention that in our Gemara over here, it means that originally he knew which one he received the Kedushin on behalf of, and later on he forgot it. So therefore, at the time, it was Kedushin Shem Asur and Labia, because had everybody remembered what's going on over here, then fine, he was Makadish Leah, and that's that. He goes and marries Leah, and the rest of them are off limits to him. Because here, the father forgot afterwards whether it was Leah or Rachel or Bila, therefore, that's why we're saying they're all Asur. According to Abaya, you don't need that. According to Abaya, Kedushin Shem Nimsur Labia are valid Kedushin. Therefore, according to him, it doesn't matter even if to begin with, when the father received the Kedushin, he said, I'm receiving it on behalf of Biti Hagdola, then automatically the mayor says three out of the four girls are included in that, suffrage. Yeah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Kulan Matoris, Chisman Hagdola Shabagdolas. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, only Leah is going to be also because a man is not going to do something in a Lashon of Suffolk of that. Where he's basically we've learned before, and we're going to learn in the Gemara that the Reb Meir holds machis inish nafsha v'sveika. A person can express himself in a way which is going to end up being a suffix, and Reb Yossi is going to say that not. He's going to say something in a clear, unequivocal way. So therefore, when he says gdola, Reb Yossi says it means the gdola shabagdolas, means the eldest of the oldest group. So Leia only. Okay. Similarly, kidashli as bityakana. Similarly. If he says I accept the kedushin on behalf of my ktana daughter, and the any day my ktana shabaktana is or ktana shabagdolus, I don't know whether it means the youngest of the young Zilpa or the youngest of the older set, which is Rachel, or gdola shabaktana shiktana minaktana shabagdolus, or even it means the elder one of the younger set, which would be Bilha, who after all is younger than the older set. Then here you have the opposite case. All of them are going to be Osir, except for Leah, because there's no way that you can call her Ktana. Divrei Rav Meir, again, that's what Rav Meir says. Rav Yosi, Makor Mataris, puts an Akanish of Akanis, and Rav Yosi says all of them are going to be Osir, all of them are going to be Motu except the youngest of the young, because he's the one that it meant Tana. By the way, the Beis Yosef points out over here that in this case also, if among the girls in the two sets there are bogris, the same thing would apply. As we said before, ain't a bogris bechlal, you still can't say that Tana or Gdola respectively would mean them, because again, they're out of his reshus to accept Kiddushin on behalf. Not everybody agrees with that, but the Beis Yosef says the logic is, again, since the Gemara is going to say that he's not going to overlook the one that's his mitzvah to accomplish her kedushin, namely when she's a ketana, and instead do for the begeris, where it's not so much his mitzvah anymore, so therefore we can assume that in this case also, even though he used the words gdola ketana, and conceivably that could mean even ones that are above the age of begeris, we don't assume that, and we say they're out of the picture, we only have to consider the ones that are below that age.
He wouldn't be allowed to do with begeris.
So that now, it's not so much that he's not allowed to. If she makes him a shliach, as we're going to say in the Gemara, then he can accept the kedushin. But we don't assume that's who we meant. Tosfos, by the way, also points out earlier when we had this again in connection with kedushin for nimsu labia, Tosfos had mentioned the possibility over there. Why don't we assume that the lawyer also came in pemenu, that like Lavan says to Yaakov, you marry off and a younger daughter before an older one. So an older one, you marry off an older daughter before a younger one. So maybe that should be reason enough to say that. Maybe that should be reason enough to say which one it was. And then Tosfos brings over there at a case involving a Menachem Miyuni, one of the Balei Tosfos, where he actually wanted to paskin on the basis of that. That therefore we know which one it was. But then Rabbi Natam argued with him, and then Tosfos discusses over there how in the end the halacha doesn't necessarily take that into consideration. It's true that Lo Yosef came in Pemenu, but nevertheless it can happen that you makadosh them out of order. Yeah.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, so what are you saying? Hoktanis v'chlal. So you're saying that you're saying in the beginning of the Mishnah that boigris are not included. When he says, I received kedushin on behalf of my daughter, we're saying the boigris are not included, but the ketanis are. Shamat minok kedushin shein v'sur l'biyah have a kedushin. Would that show like a buy-in that kedushin shein v'sur l'biyah are valid? Because that would be the case. A man was makadosh one of the daughters. If we don't know to begin with which one it was, all of them are going to be also to him because any one of them might be achos ishto. And nevertheless, we're still saying, ain't a burgris b'chlal, implying, so the man has, let's say, so the man has three daughters who are ketanis, let's say, and one daughter who is a begeris. So we're saying, fine, if we don't assume he received kedushin for the begeris, but it could be any of the three ketanis, but that would be valid kedushin, it sounds like. But according to Abaye, so that would work according to Abaye, it wouldn't work according to Rava. According to Rava, the kedushin shouldn't be valid in the first place, because lo nimsu l'biya. To begin with, the kedushin were made in such a way that biya is going to be impossible. Because any one of them might be his wife, and the other ones are achos ishto.
So
the whole thing shouldn't be kedushin in the first place. The answer is, Rava would say, the case of the Mishnah, the first case of the Mishnah, there was only one gdola and one ketana. So therefore, obviously it means the gdola is not included, the begeras, only the ketana, and therefore there's no suffix who it is, because there's only one ketana. Well, the Gemara asks about the Mishnah said boigrois in the plural, implying there's more than one daughter over here. The answer is means my boigrois the alma. We mean in general, we mean all the boigrois that exist in the world. We don't mean boigrois as in this particular man's daughters. Well, boigrois, we mean the whole concept of boigrois.
That's how you call it, boigrois.
Okay, the Gemara says, well, then pshita. Well, then obviously, if there's only one older daughter and one younger daughter, then the kedushin are, then obviously it means only the tana. Bogris may have entire. Well, then what does the father have to do with the bogris? He can't accept kedushin on their behalf. And the answer is, hoch mayaskin and shavisi shliach. The case the Mishnah could be talking about where the begeris, the one daughter who is a begeris, appointed her father a shliach to receive kedushin on her behalf. So now you could argue when he receives kedushin, he might have her in mind. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us, a person is not going to set aside something where he has a hanah from it, where it's a ketana, he receives the kedushin, he keeps kedushin himself. And do something where he doesn't have hanah from it, namely by a begeris, where he doesn't get to keep the kedushin, he's only doing it as a shliach.
other hand, he gets rid of...
One second. The Gemara asks, Mila Eskin and Da'omila Kiddushai Loch. Couldn't there be a case where she says, you know what, you can keep the money of Kiddushin, so then he does have a monetary hanah? And the answer is, Afilo Hochi, even so, the Shavik Inish Mitzvah did Ram Yaleh, a person is not going to ignore a mitzvah that's incumbent on him to marry off his daughter of when she's of the age, but of the mitzvah, the Ram Yaleh, and do the mitzvah, which is not really so incumbent on him. Once she's a begetter, it's really up to her herself to arrange her own marriage. And therefore, he's not going to do that in preference to his younger daughter, where he still has the mitzvah of marrying her off at the proper age.
That's true, because he's still working on shlichus for both of them.
No, but the point is, if he says, I don't know which one, then if he said, obviously, if he says he receives kiddushin on behalf of the older one, then fine. But here, what he's saying, I receive on behalf of one of them, I don't know which one, then we should assume it's only the kanas. And again, according to Rabbi, it would have to be there's only one kana. According to Abaye, there could be many kanas.
That means all the towns would be a problem.
And all the towns would be a problem. According to Abaye, yeah. Well, the halacha is like Abaye in the end. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Mishiyash l'shtei kitei bonus, we had the various cases where a person has two sets of daughters, and we mentioned Gdola, and we mentioned the case where he says, I was Makadish the Gdola versus I was Makadish the Ketana, and in both cases, Rav Meir says three of the four girls are included in the Suffolk, and Rav Yossi says only one of them. So now, why do we need both cases in the Mishnah? Once we say it by Gdola, shouldn't it be obvious the same thing as Skubak Tana? So the Gemara says, it's Tzricha. We need to be told both cases. The Iyashmin and Tamai say, if we were only told the first case about the Gdola, you would say, Bahach Pomer of Meir, you know why, but Meir says that Gdola includes three of the four of them. The fact is, there are younger daughters. Leah has a younger sister, Rachel, and younger half-sisters, Bilhah and Zilpah, and so forth. Rachel has younger sisters, Bilhah and Zilpah, and so forth. So therefore, Lahach Gdola Karimah, so it's normal to call her Gdola, as in other words, you use the word Gdola, not necessarily to mean my eldest daughter, but my older daughter. But when it comes to the Ketana, it's not normal for a, we don't expect that a father would call his daughter Ketana just because she has older siblings. Maybe he would agree that Rav Yossi, the Ketana, lahach Ketana de Kodo Korila, that the word Ketana refers only to the youngest out of all the young daughters. The word Ketana would mean the youngest and not younger. And on the other hand, if we only had the machlokas in the case of Tana, you would say Baha Ka'am Rav Yossi. Maybe only Rav Yossi says there that it's only the youngest one, because Tana usually refers only to her. Aba Bahach, but when it comes to Gdola, Ema Modile, the Rav Meir, maybe you would agree with Rav Meir that the word Gdola can mean not the oldest, but older, Tzricha. So therefore, we need to be told both parts of the machlokas in both cases. Rav Meir is going to hold that it includes all three of them, that includes three out of the four, and Rav Yossi is going to say it includes only one out of the four. Because in both cases, Rav Meir is going to say, Gdola means any older one, and Rav Yossi is going to say, Gdola means the oldest one. And similarly with Tana, Rav Meir is going to say it means any younger one, and Rav Yossi is going to say it means the youngest. Yeah. So therefore we need both cases, and now we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow to analyze their machlokas and say, actually, you know what? Yeah, nobody's here anyway. We may as well continue a few more lines. Fine. So the Gemara asks, Lememra did a mayor sell a machish inish napshalus faker? So are you telling me that a mayor holds that a person will put himself into a case of suffolk? A person might do something or say something that's unclear, and that puts him in a case of suffolk, and the mayor says he might do that anyway. So therefore here he has three out of his four girls are potentially Makodesh, and are going to acquire a debt, and nevertheless, Rav Meir says a person might do that, but Rav Yossi Sava Loi Machus Inish L'Sveika, and Rav Yossi holds that a person is not going to do that, put himself in a suffix. But if Chashamim, don't we find Rav Meir and Rav Yossi saying exactly the opposite? D'tnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Nedarim, Hanoder Ada Pesach, if a person makes a neder that he's going to be also in something until Pesach, also Ad Shiyagia. And it means he's also until Pesach comes. Once the first night Pesach comes, then he's mutter. On the other hand, if he says, Ad Shiyahei Pesach, if he says until Pesach is, so that implies as long as Pesach still exists, then he's usur. So then it would be Ad Shiyatzeh, then it would be only when Pesach is over. What if he says, Ad Pnei Pesach? What if he says, until the face of Pesach? So it can mean, so Pnei could be like Lifnei. On the other hand, Pnei could be as long as the presence of Pesach, as long as Pesach is present. or not so much present, but the word pnei, rather, could be a day that's before another day. The first day Pesach is before the second day. The second day is before the third day. Maybe he means until a day when there's no before to talk about because Pesach is over. So now you have Rav Meir Omer, also Ad Sheyagiyah, Rav Yosi Omer, Ad Sheyetzeh. So Rav Meir says he's going to be also only until Pesach begins, because then once it begins, it's not pnei at Pesach anymore. Meaning, in other words, Rav Meir is saying, Loi Mochasinish Nafshal Sveika. Yes, the word pnei at Pesach can mean a day which is before the next day of Pesach, but Rav Meir says that's not what it means. Pnei at Pesach means until the presence of Pesach is seen. As soon as the presence of Pesach is seen, meaning, in other words, he's saying, in effect, pnei is the equivalent of lifnei, so therefore, as soon as it's not before Pesach anymore, as soon as Pesach has started, then the neder is over. Because Loi Mochasinish Nafshal Sveika. Rav Yosi is saying, Ad Sheyetzeh, until Pesach is over, which sounds like he says, a person will put himself in a suffix. When he says Pnei Pesach, it could conceivably mean any day where there's another day of Pesach yet to come, and therefore it's Pnei Pesach. There's still a Lifnei over here. So we see Rav Yosi says a person will express himself in a way that involves a suffix. So Omer of Chanina Bar Avdini, Omer Rav Mochlefes Hashita. You would have to flip around the Tanoim in the Mishnah, in one of the Mishnayos, Rashi says, in the Mishnah in the Dorin. You would have to flip around and say the Meir would be the one who says he's also until Pesach is over, and Rabbi Yossi would say he's also only until Pesach begins, and then it would be consistent with our Mishnah.
This way you don't have a steer for it.
And that we don't have a steer. And in fact, the Gemara says, Vaha Tanya, and indeed we learn a Braisa like that, Zachwal, you have a rule like this, Kol Shizmane Kavua, anytime you have a fixed time, for example, Pesach, we know it comes on a certain date and it lasts for a certain number of days, Omer Ad Pnei, if he says ad pnei until the pnei of that thing, then Rav Meir says until that time is over, and Rav Yosi says until it begins. So we see, in other words, that would be the exact opposite of the way it's presented in the Mishnah and the Dorin. So you'd see we have to flip around the opinions there. On the other, so that's that. So you flip around the opinions, and therefore that makes it consistent.
You take a Mishnah which is solid.
So you take a Mishnah and you change it because we have a Braisa. It's true. Sometimes the Gemara will say that. So what? You're changing a Mishnah because of a Braisa. But here, where we also have, not only it fits with the Braisa, but also if we said the way we have it in the Mishnah and Dorim, it contradicts our Mishnah, then yes, we're going to do that. You have a few other places in Shas also. You have in Sukkah, for example. You have an example where you have a Machlokas Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim, and the Gemara on the basis of a Braisa flips it around. So you have once in a while we do that, yeah. Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll talk about more analysis of Rav Meir's and Rav Yosi's respective opinions and what we say in each case.
That's great.
Shabbat, everyone.